This is Jim Field.
And Levine Eblen.
And this is your Nishna Valley. Getting a little chillier now in the mornings.
It is. It's really getting to be fall, maybe plus, you know, kind of edging us into what's going to come next. But hey, enjoy every day.
Supposed to be frost on the pumpkin, though, right?
Yes, that's right. And it is pumpkin time. Have you seen all the pumpkins out there?
I think it's been a pretty good year for the pumpkin crop.
I think so.
By the looks of it.
Yes, yes. It kind of fits with all, you know, the fruit. We've talked about the apples and the pears and the whatever. I think anything like that, it's been a good year. The walnuts are just crazy.
Really?
I have walnut trees, drop them all over my lawn, and they are probably double what they've been in the past.
Wow.
Yes. But like you say, how the pumpkins, it's pumpkin time.
Well, I tell you what, it's a good thing pumpkins don't grow on trees.
You wouldn't want to walk under a falling pumpkin, huh?
No, it's bad enough this year with the apple crop.
Yes.
I mean, people were having troubles with breaking branches and stuff. There's so many apples on some of those branches they couldn't hold.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yep.
Just been a crazy year for some of that stuff. Well, lots of good stuff coming up here for Halloween when you start to look at some of the different activities and events and things coming up. You know, when you start thinking about fall and Halloween, of course, Halloween is a time of candy, I guess. You know, you start thinking
so much
about it.
It has to be, if not the biggest, next to the biggest candy time of the year. And there's one kind of candy that you don't often see on the shelf very much until it comes this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be?
Candy corn.
Yeah.
Candy corn. Have you thought much about candy corn? You eat it.
Oh, yeah. That with combined with peanuts. Oh, my gosh. That's my favorite combination.
What's a good sweet and salty combination?
Yes, that's right.
You can't avoid it. I mean, it's not my favorite candy. I really don't care for it very much. But if somebody has some sitting out, you're always going to walk by and grab a short handful.
Exactly.
You just do. And it's everywhere this time of the year. Well, I found some interesting stuff on a website called kitchendaily.com about candy corn, because it's so prevalent at this time of the year. Well, it's got a pretty good legacy and it's got a long legacy, actually. You know, there are almost 9 billion, that's billion with a B, pieces of candy corn made each year. Now, if you were going to put those end to end...
Are you out there putting those end to end? Yes.
It would be enough to circle the moon nearly 21 times.
The moon.
Lots of candy corn. George Renninger invented the candy corn back in the 1880s. He worked at the Wonderly Candy Company in Philadelphia. The Galitz Confectionery Company took over candy corn production in 1900, and they still produce it today, but it's under the more recognizable company name of Jelly Belly Candy Company. You might be familiar with that.
Yes, but that's not the brand that I see.
Well, there are plenty of brands, I think.
Yes.
Well, candy corn was initially given the less appealing moniker. It was called chicken feed when it was first made. Because at the time, corn was closely associated with feeding chickens, so it made sense. And when it was created, candy corn had no association whatsoever with Halloween or with autumn. Initially, candy corn was made with a mixture of sugar, corn syrup, and marshmallow flavor. Now, the candy was not produced in a factory. Employees would pour 45 pounds of that warm candy mixture into buckets called runners, and then men known as stringers would then walk backward, pouring the mixture into cornstarch trays with that iconic kernel shape. It would take about 3 passes to make the colors. And then wagons would deliver the candy in wooden boxes, tubs, and cartons out to the drugstores. And the iconic multicolored scheme of the candy corn was considered revolutionary. So customers just went crazy for it. They thought it was the coolest thing they'd ever seen. So the popularity of candy corn was so immense that competitors attempted to make candies in the shape of turnips.
Not so appetizing.
I don't think of candy and turnips in the same breath. Four-leaf clovers. I could see that. Chestnuts and some other designs, but they said nothing could beat the unique design of the candy corn.
Well, it's that 3-color combination that really makes it unique.
It stands out. Yes. You know what it is when you see it. You don't have to ask. Well, in the 1900s, the demand for candy corn was so high that the Galitz Company had to refuse orders because the company didn't have the means to keep up with the ever-increasing requests. The candy was perishable, so it couldn't travel long distances until the 1940s when companies began using family-sized cellophane bags to keep their products fresh. You know, you don't think about those kinds of things nowadays.
No. Candy corn would be good for a long time. You put it in your freezer, you probably keep it for years if you wanted to.
It might last that long. Well, with the introduction of the cellophane bag, Galitz could ship his candy further than he ever had before. And by 1951, the Galitz Company had 12 factories making candy corn all over the country. In fact, it was only after World War II that the candy corn was advertised as a Halloween candy. and that tradition has remained pretty much unchanged since then. It said in the fall of 1951, a local advertisement described candy corn as the buttery, flavored, mellow cream candy corn in its familiar three colors, approximately 360 pieces to the pound, the candy all children love to nibble on all year long.
So even though they targeted this time of year, it's interesting that the ad said all year long.
Well, and they say even though the advertisement suggests that kids would eat candy corn the whole year, some people believe that because the ad ran in the first week of October, that the candy has been associated with the month and with Halloween ever since. And today, over 35 million pounds of candy corn are produced each year. And in recent years, the makers of candy corn have produced Christmas, Valentine's Day, and Easter-themed sweets as well. I've seen those, too. Pink, red, and white for Valentine's.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I've seen different colored ones.
You know, I don't pick those up like I do the candy corn.
That's never going to catch on
the way candy corn is.
No. Well, the sweet event, it's actually honored with its own holiday. October 30th is National Candy Corn Day. So it's right in time for Halloween. So there you go. And in case you're wondering, yeah, you're going to put on a pound or two. Candy corn it's not unreasonably unhealthy for a candy, but it's mostly sugar. They say 22 pieces is roughly about 140 calories and no fat. So
yeah,
there you go.
So I guess that's the positive part of it. But it is total sugar. It's, you know, there's no way around that. It's just total sugar. So when you think about that, there's not that much flavor to it.
No.
It's, I think, more the uniqueness of it.
I've seen the other, like the Valentine's Day one. That's why I knew it was red, pink, and white. Mm-hmm. But I've not tried it. I don't know if it tastes any different.
I bet it's the same taste.
It pretty much tastes like waxy sugar to me.
Yeah.
Like a waxy form of sugar.
Maybe that's why I like it combined with the peanuts, because then you get more flavor. Like you say, it's the sugar and the salt.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, you go into grocery stores anymore and you look around and they're always trying to come up with different ideas to combine salty with sweet together. I mean, from breakfast bars and stuff like that to, you know, different types of granola bars and things. There's a cottage industry in the South where they have chicken and waffle joints.
Oh, yes.
And now that sounds really bizarre to folks who haven't had it, but it's the combination of sweet and salty.
Have you had it?
I've not had actual chicken and waffles. I tried the potato chips. You know, Lay's has a chicken and waffles potato chip you can try. But yeah, no, I have not. But I'm kind of curious.
Well, sure.
I'm not
Give
a big a pancake waffle person. It's fine once in a while, but I would not go out of my way to have it all the time.
But if you come near a chicken and waffle place, you're probably going to stop just because
I will.
You're curious.
I will. I'll try a few things once in a while. I'm not one who's going to go out to eat and just go off the menu somewhere and, you know, go berserk. But once in a while, you know, I've tried some different things here and there just to kind of see, you know, things that are, typically it's things that are more in tune with other parts of the country, you know, like
cultural kinds of things.
I've tried stuff like, oh gosh, like grits. I'd never had grits before. Now if you're from Alabama or Georgia or whatever, oh, you eat grits all the time. But I've never tried it before, and I always thought, you know, that'd be interesting. We were on vacation someplace. It might have actually been in Colorado, come to think of it, why they had grits out there. But they had it on the breakfast menu there, and we were out for breakfast, and so I thought, you know, I'll give it a try. Did not care for it.
It's gritty.
Yeah, I understand why they call it that. Yep. But yeah, no, I didn't care for it. But I'll give it a try. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. So, you know, we try something once in a while.
And I think some people add syrup over the grits. That just, again, that's kind of the sweet and salty.
And I've heard all kinds of things, cinnamon and different types of things, whatever. I don't know. It didn't do anything for me. But that's the way it goes. But Halloween anyway. Let's stick with Halloween for the time
let's,
being.
Let's do, because so many communities do special things for Halloween, and I have one in Avoca that's going to be on October 23rd. That's coming up right away. Avoca Fire and Rescue and the Avoca Neighborhood Watch are co-sponsoring a pumpkin carving event at the Avoca Fire Hall on Wednesday, October 23rd from 5 to 8 p.m. That's next week. The pumpkin carving will take place outside, weather permitting, but if necessary, they'll move inside. And the pumpkins will be furnished. So just show up at the Avoca Fire Hall on Wednesday, October 23rd, 5 to 8 p.m. to carve a pumpkin. And then there's one on the 26th. You know, we have to get some of these things done before actual Halloween. And this one you really do, because the Walnut Merchants Association is planning a costume swap to be held in conjunction with their Walnut Halloween Haunt, which will take place on Saturday, October 26th from 5 to 8 p.m. So whether you want to unload some old costumes, maybe you have a whole trunk full from kids in the past, or you don't have one, don't worry. Costumes will be available the night of the haunt and are provided for free. Now, to add to the costumes, face painters will also be available to complete any terrifying looks. And this is all being held at the Walnut Public Library. If you have costumes, you can drop them off at any participating Walnut business. I'm sure you can do that anytime to get ready for the Walnut Halloween Haunt event on October 26th. If you want more information, if you have Facebook, you can go to facebook.com, but then you have to go to Pages, Fans of Walnut, Iowa's Antique City. You got that, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha.
That's all happening, something kind of new and different, on October 26th in Walnut.
You know, a few other events coming up, too, as you would expect. Coming up on, this is Sunday, October 27th, a Halloween costume party for kids of all ages will be held at the Adair Community Center. That'll be from 2 to 4 p.m. Games, food, and prizes will be available for children, and they must be accompanied by an adult. The event is sponsored by the Adair Chamber of Commerce with help from St. Gregory's Retreat Center and the Adair Casey National Honor Society. And as you would expect, on Thursday, October 31st, there are plenty of different things going on. A few of those include the Anita Town and Country Club annual Halloween party, which will be held at the Anita Fire Station, serving chili, potato, and chicken noodle soup, along with hot dogs from 5 to 7:30 p.m., and then they'll start judging costumes at 7:30 as well. Also on Halloween night, October 31st, there'll be Halloween in Cumberland. It'll include trick-or-treating from 5 to 6 p.m., and then they'll have a kids' Halloween party from 5 to 7:30 p.m. that'll be going on at the Cumberland Community Building. They'll have games, treats, and costume judging. Also, hot dogs, chips, cookies, and punch will be available for free. And who'd ever thought that probably a hot dog is the healthiest thing you'd be eating that night?
The healthiest out of that
group
of
food.
Candy,
yeah. Also on October 31st, Halloween trick-or-treating in Casey will be held from 5 to 7 p.m., and a Halloween party will be following from 7 to 8 p.m. at the Casey Community Building. Now, that event is sponsored by the Casey Service Club. Now, I'm sure there are plenty of other events and activities going on where you live for the Halloween extravaganza, but that's what we have here. So,
all right.
Have fun.
Yeah, check it out. Almost every community has something. And then as it gets closer, we're a couple weeks out here, almost, or 10 days, need to check out what the hours are in your particular community for trick-or-treating, because they're different in lots of different communities.
Yeah, I've said many times, I've never understood that. There was no such thing as a mayor telling us when Halloween trick-or-treating was. We knew when it was. It was the night of October 31st,
yeah, right.
Period, end of story. And you're not going to stop me from getting more candy. We're going to get what we can while we can. We need to take a short break. Stay with us, and we've got plenty more things going on around the area and folks to talk about as well. We'll do that right after we come back from this.
Whether you're a patient we're seeing regularly for chemo treatments, attending one of our diabetes clinics, or a couple about to have your first baby, at Cass County Memorial Hospital, we think about your health 365 days a year.
What you eat is a big part of your health and wellness. Heart disease, diabetes, and some cancers are linked to what you eat. This is Emily Kringle, registered dietitian at Cass County Memorial Hospital for the past 36 years. Eating plenty of whole grains, vegetables, and fruits, along with substituting fish for one serving of red meat a week, will help give your body the fuel it needs to support you in an active, healthy lifestyle.
Whether we're setting a broken bone in our emergency department or providing rehab services after a long illness, we're here to help you feel better. Cass County Memorial Hospital, neighbors caring for neighbors.
All right, more stuff here in the area. Let's take a look at some of the other events and activities going on here. They're coming up pretty quick. This Sunday, October 20th, the United Congregational Methodist Church in Lewis is holding a Windsor Chop dinner. That sounds like fall, doesn't
yummy.
It? Yummy. 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., the menu includes, of course, Windsor chops, cheesy potatoes, green beans, dessert, and drink for $8.
It's a bargain.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it must be a lot of donated stuff because you can't make much money for $8 doing that. And carryouts are available there as well. Also, there are a number of blood drives around the area coming up, too. It's a busy time for blood drives. They're always important. Coming up this Monday, October 21st, Walnut High School will hold a blood drive from 7 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Also on Wednesday, October 23rd, the Atlantic High School will have an American Red Cross blood drive from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday, October 24th, Orient-Maxburg High School in Orient will have one from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Those are all coming up just in the next few days. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS and you can schedule your appointment for any of those. Also, some other activities coming up here not too far down the road. Next weekend, October 26th, on Saturday, the Marnie Mason's Harvest Breakfast will be held at the Marnie Fire Station. That'll be from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., and the menu will feature pancakes, biscuits and gravy, scrambled eggs, hash browns, juices, milk, and coffee. And they will feature Molly Cranston's famous homemade Mississippi biscuits and homemade strawberry jam.
Now, that's something to put your tongue around, isn't it?
Sounds
good to
me. Makes
my mouth water.
Oh, nothing better than a nice warm biscuit out
of
the oven.
And then homemade strawberry jam. Wow. Yeah.
$7 for adults, $3 for children 10 and under. So very reasonable. Also, the Cass County Conservation Board, I should have thrown this in with the Halloween stuff, but the Conservation Board is having its 22nd biannual Magical Forest Halloween hike, and that'll be next Saturday the 26th at 7 p.m. They have small groups that will depart from the Camblin Edition in Sunnyside Park in Atlantic every 10 minutes, and the last group will leave at 8:10. Hikers enjoy free tasty treats, warm drinks after their hike, and the intent is to educate, not scare. Pre-registration is required, so you can contact the Conservation Board office in Lewis if you'd like to know more and to get signed up. Just leave your name, phone number, how many are in your group, and what time you'd like to depart. And they also are looking for some volunteers for that event, too. Also next Saturday, the 26th, the Atlantic Business and Professional Women's Fall Craft Show will be held. That'll be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Cass County Community Building in Atlantic. Now, the vendor space is full. They don't need any more vendors.
You can get on a waiting list, but it's full now.
It's a good problem to have.
Yes.
Vendor space is full. Now, that's good news for you because when you stop in, you will have plenty of stuff to see and maybe take home with you, too. Concession stand will also be open, and any proceeds that come from the event, remember, go to community projects and scholarships, so it's important to help out. Also, coming up on the 26th, there is a Pheasant Hunter's Breakfast by the Firehouse Flames, and that'll be held from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the Audubon Fire Hall. There's a drug take-back day next Saturday the 26th. From 10 a.m. to noon, you can stop by the Audubon Police Department and drop off any of the old drugs that you might have hanging around the house that you don't need anymore. Also next Saturday, there's a benefit pancake breakfast for the family of Jesse Leeper and TJ and Courtney Clausen. That'll be held at the Adair Casey High School beginning at 8 a.m. They're asking for a free will donation, and Guthrie County Thrivent is helping to sponsor that event as well. And we'll throw in some stuff on the 27th. That'll be Sunday next weekend because there's lots of stuff going on then. St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church Bazaar will be held at the Parish Center in Atlantic. Doors opening at 9 a.m. Dinner will be served from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. The homemade dinner includes roast beef, green beans, mashed potatoes, glazed carrots, rolls, salads, and desserts. The cost is $9 for adults, $3 for children 6 to 12 years old, and children 5 and under can eat free. Takeout orders are available. Take advantage of the bake sale, sewing circle sale, the quilt chances, and the general store, and the proceeds will help pay for the new parish center flooring there. Also, the United Church of Avoca annual fall church dinner will be held at the church at 304 North Elm Street from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. The menu includes roast beef, mashed potatoes and gravy, relishes and salads, corn, green beans, and pie. $8 for adults, $4 for children 12 and under. Preschoolers are free. Also, it's a big weekend for church stuff. Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church annual soup, salad, and dessert luncheon will be held that day, Sunday the 27th, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the church, which is one block north of Casey's on Highway 48 in Griswold. A free will donation will be accepted for that, and they'll have a raffle and a silent auction as well. Also on Sunday the 27th, the Audubon County Hospital Foundation's Big Band Harvest Dance will be held from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Agra Hall at the Audubon County Fairgrounds. And they typically have a pretty decent crowd for that.
They do. Great music and a big crowd. And, you know, if you don't dance, sit and listen and visit.
And it is. It's just fun music. Just enjoy. Also, in conjunction with that, Tuesday, October 29th, the Audubon County Hospital Foundation will hold its Masquerade Jewelry Fair as part of that effort as well. 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., and that'll be at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. So you can contact the folks there if you'd like to know more. And I do want to throw in one other thing a little further down the road here, just because they're trying to get stuff set up for that. Coming up on Friday, November 1st, and Saturday, November 2nd, will be the Friends of the Atlantic Public Library Fall Used Book Sale. Now, on Friday, it'll be from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Saturday, November 2nd, from 9:30 a.m. until noon, and that'll be at the library at 507 Poplar Street, with the proceeds going to the library. However, here's the caveat here. If you do have books to donate, you still have time to get them there. Through October 29th, they'll be taking those books that they can use to work out that sale. So if you have some to donate, sitting around the house, just collecting dust, you're tired of dusting around them, let somebody else do it. And enjoy the book first, so you can make that donation.
And it is important, you know, if you've been to a sale, you know that all those books get organized, lined up. They're not just there in a big pile. Somebody has to do that work, Friends of the Library. And so that's why they need the books a little earlier than the day of the sale.
Yeah, don't bring them in that day. That's a little tough, a little tough. And one other thing I want to throw in, too, because it is that season. Have you gotten your flu shot yet?
No, I don't. It's sort of been there in the back of my mind. And thinking, I need to go do that.
Yep.
But we've got some clinics coming up.
Well, it's actually pretty easy this year. You know, in the past, there have been some years where the flu vaccine has been tough to find, and they've had to kind of prioritize it and ration it out a little bit. That is not the case at all. In fact, the Atlantic Medical Center has flu vaccinations available Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 11 a.m. and then 1:30 to 4 p.m. And also on Saturdays from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m., no appointments are necessary. You're just going to walk into the medical center, tell them what you want at the desk, and they'll send you down to the room. If there's no line, and there probably won't be, at least it won't be a very big one, since it's all spread out and you come in wherever you want, you'll be in and out of there in no time.
No excuse, because you missed a clinic, not to get your flu shot.
Right. Yeah. Now, they do have flu vaccines in all doses for all age groups, including the flu mist. And remember, it does take about 2 weeks for the vaccine to provide full protection. So if you're thinking about the timeline, I know some folks like to wait as long as they can because they want to make sure it carries them through the entire season.
Yeah.
But remember, it does take about 2 weeks to take effect. Now, also, Murtu Medical Center Public Health has several flu vaccination clinics that will be held in Harlan at the Community Health Building. And you can call 755-4422 or visit ShelbyCountyClinics.com to go online to find out more. And they'll also have clinics in Irwin, Erling, Westphalia, Shelby, Avoca, Defiance, Panama, Portsmouth, and Elkhorn. And appointments are not needed for those clinics. So, and many of the area counties, we don't have the details on that, but we've heard some of the things say it's a lot the same. There's a lot of flu vaccine around this year. So if you don't get vaccinated, that is your choice. But it is also your fault if you don't take advantage of it.
And I just remember that you're protecting yourself, but you're also protecting those around you.
Absolutely.
So get the flu shot.
So get it taken care of.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Got any birthdays over there?
I do have some birthdays. The first one I want to mention is at the Friendship Home, and that is Bob Fry. His birthday is on October 22nd. And then we have some folks that are celebrating that are going to have some card showers. Edwin Olson of Harlan will celebrate his 90th birthday on October 21st, and his family would like to honor him with a card shower. So send your cards to Edwin at 1520-1520 Nishna Avenue in Harlan, and 51537 is the zip code there. So that's for Edwin Olson's 90th birthday. And then on October 24th, former Avoca resident Genevieve Caven will be celebrating her 96th birthday. I think that's Caven. Caven, I think, is right. Sorry, Genevieve. Genevieve will be celebrating her 96th birthday on Thursday, October 24th, and you can send her cards to 1200 Brookridge Center or Circle at Atlantic. So she's at the Heritage House, basically. 1200 Brookridge Circle to send your cards to Genevieve for her 96th birthday. And a 95th birthday, that's Velma Peterson of Anita, and she's celebrating on October 26th. That's her birthday. And we'll be having a family gathering. But birthday cards can be sent to her at 610 5th Street in Anita. That's Velma Peterson. Happy birthday to her for her 95th birthday, which is on October 26th.
Very good.
Lots of 90s stuff there.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah?
We certainly do.
I should have mentioned this before when we were talking about pumpkin. Have you ever been to any of the haunted houses where you walk through and get scared?
Oh, it's been a long time, but yes.
Okay. Why do we like to be scared?
Good question.
I understand they're pretty scary.
Some of them can be.
Yeah.
Some of them can be. It's interesting. I had one other thing here that I pulled that I wanted to just kind of touch on. I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but it's an article that I read recently by Libby Kane. It was on the Fox Business Network, and it caught my attention. It says, 7 retirement mistakes to steer clear of. It's important stuff. You got a long time after you're finished working, hopefully, to live. And
we'll
you need
see
to
how many
your,
of them I've made.
Well, you need to have your finances there, too. But the first one she lists is operating without a goal. You know, estimating how much money you're going to need in retirement is tricky. We don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know what circumstances are going to come up, what our health will be like, all kinds of things. But you have to come in with some sort of a plan. You know, a lot of people will say, well, I'm not going to spend as much when I retire. Well, things get more expensive, too.
That's what I was going to say.
On.
Prices keep going up, and you don't know how much.
No. And really, a lot of people, yeah, you know, you might be planning for like 60 or 70% of your income after retirement. And you know, but a lot of people are working part-time a little bit. What do you have, like 12 jobs? Something like that?
Well, maybe. And not all of them are paying.
You don't consider yourself retired, though.
No, almost not.
But there are lots of different ways. You can talk to planners and stuff, but have a plan. Don't just figure it's going to happen. Procrastinating is the second big one. You know, hey, it's nice outside. We got years to go. But nobody but the fictive retirement planners really want to think about retiring. But you do need to plan for it. Don't put it off until the last minute. It used to be that folks wouldn't wait. They'd wait till like they're 40 and then start thinking about, you know, oh, we better start doing something for retirement. Well, that was years ago.
That's right. 40 is, yeah.
You can't do that. Approaching retirement with outsized home costs is another big mistake people make. You've seen what the mortgage business is like these days. If you're financing and then refinancing and refinancing again, you may owe a lot more on your home for a lot longer time than you figured you would at retirement. Be prepared for that.
Ask the question 20 years, whatever length that mortgage is. You know, how old am I going to be if I make it that 20 years from now? How old will I be? And sometimes it's kind of, the answer is kind of scary.
It can be. A fourth mistake that folks will make is being unaware of whether you have employer match. Some employers, have matching plans. They'll match contributions you might make to an employer-sponsored retirement plan. Some folks never even ask about it. So make sure you check those kinds of things. Number 5 is choosing the wrong tax strategy. Because when you pull retirement savings, you're going to have to pay taxes. And they say generally it's smarter to pay now than later. That's why like Roth IRAs are pretty popular. I have a Roth IRA. I'm paying taxes on it now. I don't get the deduction. But when I pull it out, all I'm going to have to pay taxes on is the interest accrued, not the whole thing. So, you know, I figure that's because I have more money now than I probably will then. What tax strategy works for you? Figure those things out. Number 6 is neglecting to consolidate your accounts. Do you have a bunch of retirement accounts out there? You know, over the course of a long career, there's a good chance you may have set up multiple 401ks or IRAs, and it's good to put some thought to that and maybe put things together.
And have people know where they are besides yourself.
Exactly. And number 7 I found pretty interesting. The 7th mistake that people make in retirement planning is putting your kids before your retirement. She said every parent wants what's best for their kids, but when it comes at the expense of your retirement fund, hey, they may need to find some other ways to help. Put your clients, people will put their own savings on hold to help out their children with big expenses like college or rent and different types of things. But, you know, you've got to be smart about that stuff, too. Do you want your kids to have to provide for you when you retire?
So that's a good way to look at it, that you're not just doing something being selfish now for yourself. You're also helping your kids in the future.
There's got to be some balance.
Yes.
Got to be some balance there. So yeah, it was an interesting article. It was a good read and some interesting thoughts there too. You don't think about some of those things until it's maybe too late. So I'll be thinking about those. Well, that's all the time we have for you here this week, and we appreciate you spending a little bit of time here on the radio with us. This is Jim Field.
And LaVon Eblen.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.